Okay, Rabbi, let's learn. Okay, I want to spend some time learning about. I want to spend some time learning about some of the mitzvahs like we did last week. Some of the mitzvahs in the sixth parasha. This sixth parasha, there are a lot. There are many, many very interesting mitzvahs. I want to start today with the mitzvah of a Micah. I know Rabbi Nyman, are you here, Mr. Nyman? Mr. Nyman, this is a topic question he wanted me to spend some time focusing on. There's a mitzvah of Yosisa Micah Ligagecha. I just want to make sure everyone can hear me. Can everyone hear me? Rav Kalman, can you hear me well?
Yes.
Okay, good, okay.
Yes.
Okay, there's a mitzvah derais of Yosisa Micah Ligagecha. To make a Micah.
What
a makeh legagecha. There's a mitzvah deraisa to make a makeh on your gag. What exactly is that? So basically what it means is you mechuyiv to make a mechitza, a partition around your roof, so that the pasuk goes on to say, let me actually get the, I'm going to get a chumash, give me one moment, get a chumash.
Why is it only in Beit Chadash? Kitivne Beit Chadash. Beit Yashan doesn't mean Makeh.
Excellent question. That's what I want to talk about. Why does it say a Bayis Chadash? Kedvarim Chav Beis Pasek Ches. Devarim Chav Beis Pasek Ches. Pasuk reads, Ki sivne bayis chodosh. If you build a new bayis, v'yosisa ma'akel ligagecha. A bayis chodosh. Why does the pasuk say only when you build a bayis chodosh, v'yosisa you shall make a ma'akel ligagecha? And then the pasuk includes, v'lois sosim damim b'veisecha. Do not set blood because ultimately what's going to happen, this pasuk is jam-packed with chidushim. Okay, there are many, many chidushim in this pasuk. First chidush is, only when you build? What about if you acquire? What happens if you purchase a bayis? Number two, why does it say chodosh, a new bayis? What happens if you... If you're building, isn't that automatic? It's new. If you're acquiring, so you can acquire an old, you can acquire a new. If you're building something from scratch, doesn't it mean automatically that it's chadash? Why does the Torah have to emphasize that it's chadash? Next, what is
remodel.
The? I'm sorry.
Remodel.
To remodel, remodel. That's not called chadash. Remodeling is not called chadash. You want to say a makeover? That's also a new modern term from probably 10 years ago, this whole new concept called makeover. Remodel. Now it says, V'yosiso, you shall make a ma'akeh. What is the shoresh of the word ma'akeh? What does that word mean? Show me another place in Tanakh that the word ma'akeh is used. What does that word mean? We translate it as a fence. Sorry? What is a market? What exactly is a market? A fence? Where does that word come from? Okay, so it says over here, Visabe Tiyoko. The Targum says Tiyoko. I don't even know what that word, I don't know what that word means, but we translate it as a fence. We'll get this in 1 second. Next question. Veloy Sosim. It doesn't say, you shall not set. The word Sosim is a word which means to very carefully put in place. We once discussed this. There are two different words. There's the word of nesina, a noisein, and there's the word of sima. Two words which are related. You can put something you could apply something with the word sima to, with the word nesina to give over something. And then there's a word called sima, some, which has a connotation with precision. When you give with the word nesina, it's general. Put it down on the table somewhere. Put it down on the table. Anywhere. You have a big dining room table. Anywhere on the table. When it says the word sima, Sima means to put in a very specific location. So here, the Torah is telling you,
Sima
b'fihem, specifically put in their mouth, put in a very specific location. Over here, when a person is telling you, build a micah, build a fence. And if you do not build a fence, then you are, it's equivalent to putting very, very specifically blood, which we assume to mean you're murdering someone. I'm not murdering anyone. I'm not even telling you to go up to the roof. Who asked you to go to the roof? And you go up to the roof, you go fall off, you're going to blame me. I did it to you. The word sasim has a connotation of premeditated murder in the first degree. That's the word sasim. Okay, we all know, I don't know the nuances, but from my television days, all I know is that in court, there are all different degrees of murders. First degree murder, second degree murder, there's premeditated murder, there is manslaughter. I don't know, go talk to a lawyer, you'll probably go break down murder into 20 categories. 20 categories of murder, all different types of murder. Over here, the word is an expression that has a connotation that it's the top of the list. It's like you were sitting your whole life waiting and planning to be zoiche to commit this crime. V'loy sosim domim b'veisecha. Like mass murder, blood, blush and rabbit. V'loy sosim sima b'veisecha in your home. Right in, what's going on? I'm not doing nothing. I didn't put a fence. How many times do you walk in the street? There are hazards. There are dangers. So they put up some cones. They put up some tape to watch you. I never understand. How come on all the streets, the cement, people always step into wet cement? I don't understand wet cement. They put up cones. They put up barriers. How did this guy step on the wet cement? What is he, blind? It's like, I did it. I didn't do nothing to you. You did it to yourself. And then it says, by the way, because the noifel, the person who was meant to fall, will fall. What do you mean? If the person was meant to fall, kiyipol hanoifel, the double expression, mimenu means from it. So he was meant to fall, so it's not my fault. If he was meant to fall, he'll fall no matter how many fences you have. No matter how many locks and barriers you have preventing him from falling, the pasuk is telling us over here, ki yipol hanoifel, which Chazal in fact darshan, that this person who was named Bashert, hanoifel, he was predestined to fall from this roof. So if he's predestined to fall from this roof, it's not going to make a difference if I put up a fence that's 10 feet tall, put up a fence that's 20 feet tall. If this fellow is going to want to fall from this roof, he'll climb to the top of the 20-foot fence and he'll jump over and he'll fall and he'll kill himself. So are you going to blame me? There are so many questions in this pasuk. And the reason why we have so many questions is very simple. We don't really know what the word Micah means. That's the answer to all our questions. We have all of these questions because we have brainwashed ourselves in translating the word Ma'akeh to mean a fence. Really? Take out a Tanakh and go from Bereshis Bara all the way to the end of Ksuvim and you show me even one time in the whole Tanakh the word Ma'akeh. Or even a word that's related to word makia, that you can then have conviction that this word means offense. When you prove that the word makia means offense, then you're right. Then you can ask me all of your questions. Why only when you buy? Why not when you acquire? Why do we call it chodosh? Well, if you're building, of course it's a new bias. You want to say remodeling? What does that mean? And then you'll answer the question also, why only the gag? Why don't they go? People always ask this question, and I always tell them the answer. They don't like the answer. There is no din of makah putting up a railing on a staircase. If you have a very, very dangerous staircase, very dangerous staircase, as dangerous as can possibly be, did you see the video clip of that platform that collapsed in a swimming pool? Did anyone see that video clip? Yesterday there was a wedding somewhere, a very, very lavish wedding, and they made this, they took a swimming pool, and they built a platform over the swimming pool, and they put trees to make it look very romantic, and that was the Arva Chosin to walk down to the Kala. They walked over this path over water in order to reach the Chuppah. And you know what happened? As the Kala was walking down the path collapsed into the swimming pool, and everyone went down into the swimming pool. I'm sure you'll see the video if you don't already see the video. It's spreading all over the place, this video. I never knew people make such fancy weddings. But in any event, what does the word makke mean? People think, I'm going off on a tangent now just to bring out the point, is if you build a staircase, are you obligated, according to the Torah, to put up a railing along the stairs? Midin ma'ake. Do you make a bracha? When you install the railing on the staircase to prevent a person from flying off the cliff and killing himself, the answer is no. You don't make bracha, because this is not a mitzvah deraisa of makeh. There's a mitzvah deraisa of leisosim damim beveisecha. That's the second mitzvah. There's a mitzvah of al tishkoin beoylecha avla. There's something that's called a sakana. Ki yichre ish bar v'lo yichasenu. If you dig a pit, you have an obligation to cover the pit. But when you cover the pit, you don't make a bracha for makeh. Oh, but it's a danger. That's right. It's a very big danger. And if you don't go cover the pit, you're fully responsible. Fully responsible in this world and the next world. But that's not the din makeh. The din ma'akeh only applies to a roof. A roof, not a staircase, not a porch, a front porch, a back porch. You have a beautiful, people make this beautiful a front porch of your house, and you gotta put up a fence. Because if you don't put up a railing, a guard around the front porch, rachmana litzlan, someone can really get hurt, for real. So you have a real obligation in Torah that anything that is a sakana, you're a mazik, you have to put up a fence. But that's not the mitzvah of makeh. The mitzvah of makeh is limited, severely limited to a roof. You go, and it's a roof where you live. I live in this binyan, and then on top of me there is a roof, and the roof is above from the ground. It's more than obviously 10 tefachim off the ground. Then, and it's an area of dalet, there's an obligation to build a fence around the roof. So if someone goes to the roof of the building and gets, it should not fall off. What kind of roof? A flat roof. You have a roof that's on an angle like our roofs. That's not called a roof. A gag has very specific halachas. It has to be flat. It has to be on top of a dwelling. And somehow you get up there. You go through a skylight, or there's a staircase, or even from the outside. Maybe there's a ladder which gets you through from the outside of the building. That is called a gag. And on that gag, you put up a fence. And when you put up that fence, the fence must be 10 tefachim tall. And you make a bracha, asher kiddushonu b'mitzvah v'tzivanu la'asos ma'akeh. But to put up a fence...
If somebody goes up on the roof illegally, I got it. And he falls off. You didn't have a mic. Are you chayiv?
So that's a very good question you're asking. The pasha says yes, you are chayiv. You are chayiv. You'll say it's not fair. What's the ganef doing? What's the ganef? The pasuk here tells you that you have to have on your roof a mic, no matter what. You're asking a very good question. I don't know the answer fully, but it appears that you might indeed be chayiv. How could that possibly be? Good question. I don't know. It's like the story.
The mashmos is that you would be chayiv because the veloso simdomim beveisach.
No matter what,
he's telling you that. Listen, maybe he was meant to die, as you said. But let it be by somebody else.
So even though the guy broke in,
but Machteres, he was going to die, but why should it be on your head?
Bob Machteres, So there is, I don't know, it's a good question. It reminds me, I remember when I was in school, remember our teacher told us about a court case, he claims it was true, where a person, he was robbed very often, so he set up a trap. Anyone who comes into his house, who opens up the door, he attached the door to the trigger of a weapon, of a gun.
And it was a nightline. I remember the case. It was a nightline.
Nightline, so the guy comes into the house.
In Florida.
And the guy, and it triggered the weapon, and the guy was killed. And the family took him to court. They took him to court to sue. I own the gun. I have a license. You're a Bob Machteris. So I set up a trap.
He was a robber? He was a robber. It was a robber.
A robber came in, and the court sided with the Ganef. The judge decided that the owner of the house goes to jail for manslaughter because he made a trap that if a Ganef comes into his home illegally, he gets killed. Excuse me, you have no business coming into my house illegally. You're coming in. What's going on? I have a right to own the weapon. I have a license for the weapon. It's a shocking, shocking case. Shook up America.
We have this case in St. Louis.
Now it's much worse. Now,
to my property.
Now with our mayor, you're allowed to go riot. Now, now this is peanuts compared to what's going on today. But
we used to do it with a cup of water on the door for the teacher.
But over here, it was lethal. This was lethal. And the judge sided with the victim. But what do you mean? But they had no right to walk into my home. It's private property. United States, you have private property. It's my. You have no right to come here. And he's doing the illegal activity. Any event, it was considered to be whatever. I don't know the circumstances. So you're asking an excellent question. So it's the same thing. If a person comes into your home illegally and he goes up to the roof and there is no mica and he falls over, so are you going to tell me that in Shemayim, obviously be the Adam, you're not going to be responsible, but are you going to go tell me that you, the owner of the bayis, are responsible because of lo sosim damim beveisecha? I have to take into consideration the possibility that a ganof will come into my home and go to the roof. It applies even to the ganof. So it's not so simple. Maybe you'll say, no, we're not getting you for the ganof because you should have the mica no matter what. For yourself, for your family, you need the mica. So it happened to me that a person entered illegally and got killed. It doesn't matter because the mica should have been there even for yourself or your family. Is that really correct? Okay, let's put that aside. I don't know the answer, but it's a very interesting chakir. We'll touch upon that in one more. So I want to bring another point. The din mica is limited only to a gag. The pasuk is very clear. A gag is a flat surface on top of your bayis. It does not apply to a staircase, to a front porch, a back porch. Those are areas that do not have anyone living underneath. If no one is living below that area, that's not called a gag. That's called the marpeset. That's a porch. There is an obligation, according to the Torah, for you to put up a fence around that area to protect someone from getting hurt. This pasuk itself teaches you that halacha. V'lo sasim damim v'secha. We have another pasuk, al tishkoin be'oihalecha avla. There are numerous psukim and sources in halacha that you are not allowed to set up mazikim. You're not allowed to dig a pit in the Rishus HaRabim and expect people not to fall into the pit. You're fully obligated. There are many psukim. But those are not akin the mitzvah deraisa of ma'ake. Ma'ake in Shulchan Aruch in the Rambam is severely limited to a din of a gag. I'll tell you a very interesting nafkamina. Let us say I had a discussion with someone who works in construction. He didn't have any answers. He didn't know the answer to all my questions. What are the codes? I asked him a very simple question. You have a building, you have a flat roof. You're a contractor, you're building a brand new building, and you have to follow building codes, right? You're not going to get a license to build the building unless the architectural plans are approved by the government. You have a roof. There's a roof. So I'm assuming that in New York City, I don't know, but I'm assuming in New York City, if you build a structure and there's a flat roof, you have to put up a fence, a make around the roof that when someone goes up to the roof, he shouldn't go on the edge and fall off. I'm assuming, I don't know, maybe I'm right. I asked him, I'm assuming there's such a code in New York City, New York State, there are laws. When you build, what are the certain basic guidelines? So I asked him, in halacha, you are required that the makeh, the fence, go up 10 tzvachim. 10 tzvachim. And I'm assuming it has to go all the way around. I don't think you're allowed to have a breach of 3 tefachim. I don't even know. There are certain details in halacha. I'm learning Erevin now. So in Erevin, you know all these rules of mechitzas. What's called a mechitza? Virtual mechitzas. There's no virtual mechitza when it comes to a makeh. A makeh, you cannot have a lomdash, lovod, good achis, good asik, doifen akuma. No such thing. When it comes to sakana, chamira, sakanta, yoisem eisura. When it comes to lomdis, isur, Shabbos, you need a reshus hayochid. You put up 2 poles and a string. That's it. You created a virtual wall or a pesach. It's kosher. When it comes to sakana, there's no virtual reality. It's either you are safe or you're not safe. A makeh is sakana. Chamira sakanta yoisem eisura. There's no lomdis. There's no defen akuma, no good achis, no good asik, no lovud. Either you got a wall or you don't got a wall. And the wall has to be 10 tvachim. How big is 10 tvachim? It's like a chair. Like comes like the height of a high, like when you're sitting on a chair. When you're sitting on the part that you sit on, that's about 10 tvachim. So I asked the contractor, someone I know in yeshiva, we were talking about this, Shabbos Kiddush, when you build, how tall must the wall on the roof be? I'm assuming. He told me he doesn't know. He doesn't know exactly. But it can very well be, depending on the state, on the city, the state, the country that you live in, there are different guidelines. There are different guidelines of what the government demands from you when you build, when you do construction, what you do to make sure it's considered safe. And there's something called Din de Malchus Adina. If in the eyes of the government this is called safe, it's safe and it's enough. But halacha has its own set of rules. Bein l'kula, bein l'chumra. So here will be a nafgamina. Let us say you have a front porch and the front porch does not have a fence. It's open and it's clearly dangerous. Clearly, you go out into the porch, right? You have a child. You wouldn't let a child go there for nothing. You go out there on the front porch and there's no fence, okay? And if you go and you fall off the fence, chas v'sholem, it's mamash sakonis nefashis for anybody. So it has to be that New York, that if you were building, you know, there's a very big difference in construction between new construction and once you already own a house. If you already own a house, you can do whatever you want. Contractor told me, doing something indoors, doing something. I said, you're allowed to do this? You're allowed to really do this? To build a wall over here? It's safe? He says, in your own house, you can do whatever you want. There's no law, there's no nothing. You can do whatever you want. He claims, a licensed contractor, he told me that. I don't know if it's true. He claims it's true. If you're building a new house, new construction? Are you getting a license? Then you got it. No games. Then you got to follow the book. But once already you moved in and it's private property and you're living indoors and you want to go do crazy things, the government can't stop. You can do whatever you want. You can be a mishugna. Okay, maybe there are other things with you know, hire a contractor, it's licensed, I don't know. But privately, do whatever you want. But if you have a porch and you're doing new construction, in New York City, New York State, or for that matter, any part of the world, there's no doubt in my mind that in new construction, there are certain guidelines. Let's say, make believe, the guidelines are that it only has to be 8 tefachim. Okay, do the math, whatever a tefach is, the city or state only demands that the fence be 8 tefachim. It's good. It's fine. If 8 tefachim is considered safe, in the eyes of society, then all you need to put a fence around your front porch is a fence that's 8 tefachim. If you have a staircase on the outside and there are gaping holes in the staircase that are more than 3 tefachim wide, that a child can fall through, and if the state says it's okay, we're not makbid on this, as long as you have a basic, you know, structure that shows you that here is a staircase, we're not makbid that you have to have it to be totally closed. You could have openings more if that's what the law allows. I'm assuming, I don't know what the law is, but if that, it's fine. It's fine. Halacha says a-okay. It's fine. If this is what is considered to be safe in the eyes of the world, in the country that you live in the city and state, they're responsible people, it's fine. But when it comes to a micah, we don't care what they consider to be safe. You have to do what the halacha. So when you build on the roof, if you will tell me that the codes of New York City are on a roof, a flat roof, you only have to put up a fence that reaches the height of what would be equivalent to 8 tefachim, it may very well be good enough for New York City and New York State, but you're oyver on an iser deoraisa every minute that you don't raise it to the height of 10 tefachim. Because the Torah says, v'yosisa ma'akeh legagecha, and Chazal have defined what is a ma'akeh. A ma'akeh has to be 10 tefachim, has to go all the way around, no lavud, no lundis. And even though maybe in the eyes of society, the codes don't require it to be the case, it's more likely you should know that the codes require even more. Because that's probably the more likely reality is that according to New York City, you probably have to put a ma'akeh that would be equivalent to 20 tefachim. But I'm just giving you an example. If you will find it, and I'm sure there are examples, if you will find the Hechatimsa, so it depends. You have to define what you're coming to enclose, what you're coming to protect. If you're coming to protect something which does not have the halachic status of a makeh, a staircase, a porch, then you have an obligation, according to the Torah, to do something responsible to make sure that no one gets hurt or injured. But the
Levine, what if it's an inaccessible flat roof? Nobody goes there. It
doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Nobody could get onto that roof anyway.
Enochinami, it doesn't matter. Nothing is inaccessible. The fact that you have a roof, you're gonna get there. You're gonna find a way to get there. Someone's gonna find a way to get there. If they built it, they got there, they'll get there again. You have to have a roof on the gag. You have a bias, you live in this structure, and there's automatically a gag on top of it. That gag needs a micah. A micah has to be 10 tefachim, it has to be strong enough. There are certain rules that a person that can lean, I think the rules are you have to be able to lean on it. It has to have a certain strength that will actually protect the person from falling down. And just the point I want to make now over here is that a makeh is very specific. And because it's very specific, it has guidelines in Shulchan Aruch. And those guidelines must be fulfilled even if you will find a city, state, a country that says that we're not makbid. We're not makbid in this situation. This situation, 8 tefachim is enough. Good for them. But the Torah demands 10 tefachim. That's the halacha. Now here's an interesting question. What happens if the government demands on a flat roof? On a flat roof, they demand a fence 20 tefachim. So the halacha only demands 10. So you put up a fence that's 10 tefachim, and you have illegally violated the code. You have not put up the 20 tefachim. And someone goes up there, and he falls over and he gets hurt. Okay, so he's going to sue you. Forget about that. What about in Shamayim? What about in Shamayim? You on Yom Kippur, Yom Hadin HaGadol, do you have to do teshuvah because this guy fell off your roof? I did what the halacha told me to do. Halacha told me to put around my roof a fence that's 10 tefachim. I did it. Yeah, but the government told you to raise it to 20 tefachim. And I didn't listen to them. So I got in trouble. I know that. They fined me $1 million. I paid the $1 million. The person fell off the roof, he got hurt. He sued me also. I paid him also $1 million. Fine. We're done with that. Do I have to ask him mechila? Do I have to do teshuva for the fact that he got hurt? The Torah only demands for my roof a gag of 10 tefachim. The Torah does not demand from me a gag of 20 tefachim. It's the government.
I did it.
So you're right. So I got penalized. I know. So dina de malchusa dina. You're right. I did it. I didn't do it. So and I paid the price. It was an accident. So the government alone fined me $1 million. I paid it. The person who got hurt sued me for $1 million. I paid him $1 million. Okay. So I did what the halacha demanded of me. And because I violated the din de malchus dina, I was punished. I paid out of my pocket. Big box. My question to you is, do I have to go to the victim, the person who fell off the roof, and ask him the chila? Do I have to do teshuva for the fact that he got hurt on my property? Mitzad echad, you'll say, no! Because the Torah is very clear in this week's parasha that you shall put a ma'akeh al gagecha v'loy sosim damim b'veisecha. I did what the Torah told me to do. And therefore, I'm not in violation of loy sosim damim b'veisecha. Oh, but the government, so the government, good for them. The government, I should have listened. I didn't. I paid dearly. But as far as the Torah is concerned, my obligation to the Ribbono Shel Olam is concerned, I'm not obligated. Or do we say, here's the Chiddush, that when it comes to matters of Sakana, if society decides that 10 tefachim is not enough, and society demands it be 20 tefachim, that's the code. They didn't just pick the number out of a hat. There's a reason why they want there to be 20 tefachim. And now someone gets hurt. Dina de Malchus Dina has upgraded my din maike, that I am now guilty of v'loisasim damim b'veisecha. And I have to ask in mechila, and I have to do teshuvah. That's a tough question, which there is no answer for. How do you look there on a staircase? On a staircase, there's no din mica. There's nothing. There's no din mica on a staircase. But yet, obviously, it's dangerous. So if it's dangerous, you better do something. What do you have to do to be potur? You have to do whatever society considers to be responsible. And in society, there are laws. There are codes. When you do new construction, there are very clear codes. When you have a staircase and it's open to an open area, what exactly the law requires from you. If you do what the law requires from you, you're good. You're good. If some shugan goes and he squeezes out into the hole and gets hurt, you're not responsible. The government can't sue you. The government can't fine you. You did what you're supposed to do. I have to ask him mechila? No way! Who asked you to go to put yourself in sakana? I did what society considers to be correct and responsible. That's poshut. But here's an incredible olam l'shechakira. When you have a roof, and here the Torah took the initiative to tell you exactly how to close off the roof with a makeh, and you do what you're supposed to do according to the Torah, but you don't do what you're supposed to according to society, where they happen to demand more, then how do you look at it? Do you say that the Torah's authority is so powerful? And when the Torah says, this is what you need to do, if you did it, as far as we, the Torah, is concerned, you're done. Or do we say no? That since in this case society wants more, you are dina de malchus dina would extend even into that realm. And that's not so posher to say that it works. The words dina de malchus dina are not the right words to use in this example, because dina de malchus dina usually is an expression that's used only by money, not by matters of moral issues. Moral issues. How far would it go? Interesting question. It's an interesting hakira which I didn't come across an answer. Okay, let's go back to the other point that we were discussing before. We have been translating all along the word ma'akeh to mean offense. And indeed, in Shulchan Aruch, that's what it says, and that's why there are guidelines. Has to be a gag. A gag, and you make offense. This that it says chodosh. So someone to say when it says chodosh, it's teaching you halacha, chidush. Let's compare the law of makeh to the law of mezuzah. You build a new house. There are two things you have to do to the new house. You have to put up a mezuzah, and you have to put up a makeh, a roof around the fence. When do you need to put up the makeh, and when do you need to put up the mezuzah? The mezuzah is pretty clear. L'chatchila, you should put it up right away. But you don't really have to put it up until you move in. Choivas mezuzah is choivas hador. If no one is living in the home, you don't need to put up a mezuzah. You can wait. If you build a new home and you're not planning to move into the new home until 3 months from now, it's not practical to move in. So I'm not moving in, whatever it is. I'm not moving in for 3 months. You have absolutely no obligation to put up the mezuzah. When you move in, that's when you put up the mezuzah. Even when you move in, you have to put it up right away, 30 days, whatever. There's also a shaila if you're obligated mamish right away, or you can dilly-dally for 30 days. L'chari, you have to do right away. If you're moving in, you own it, right away. If you rent it, then 30 days. All right, fine. Micah. So there are poskim that want to be medayik, that the fact that it's kisiv nebayis chodosh, the obligation to put up the mikah, begins the moment you finished construction. Even if you have no plans to move in for a prolonged period of time. The word chodosh is in contrast to the law of mezuzah. Immediately. You ever see these construction sites? It's very interesting. They're very, very makbid on safety. Extremely makbid on safety. The first thing they do, they put up a new floor. Right away, you see, the shmatas go around, right? They put up all the safety. They put up wire, these cables, and they put up this material. Right away, safety first. Very, very makbid. With each new addition, right away, they have to install temporary safety features. No one's living there. Everyone that's coming there is doing construction, so l'cho'oira, they're on guard. They're protecting themselves. They're working. They're building. They know what they're doing. No. In society, just because you're a construction worker, just because you're paying attention to what you're doing, that's why you're there. You're not just dozing off and sleeping, and you're going to roll off, fall down 20 stories. Doesn't matter. In society, it's accepted immediately. In the middle of the construction, you have to install safety features. That's what it means, ki sivne bayis chodosh. Even when it's fresh, it's new, the bayis, it's a din in the bayis. Even when the bias is chodosh from the very, very first moment, the mica must be there. The mica must be there. You must be protected. Now, even though it answers the question why it's chodosh, it answers the question, but unfortunately, it's not the halacha. In Shulchan Aruch, it seems that you don't have to put up the mica right away. The mica only has to be put up when you actually live in the bayis, just like mezuzah. So it's a good try, and not everyone. There are definitely rishonim that learn immediately, and that's what the word chodosh is teaching you. But it seems that practical halacha, it's not required until you actually move in. And then the question is reinstated, why then does it say chadash? Good question. I don't know. Why does it say chadash? And all these questions, you don't have really good answers for all these questions. Now let's go to another question. And Mr. Nyman, I think you mentioned the question. Someone asked the question. Mr. Heshi asked the question. What about no one's going there? No one is going there.
I asked the question. Yeah.
Let's say no one's going there. Let's say you're the only one that has the key to the house. Now, here's the lumnus.
I asked you that question. Yeah, no one's going there.
Right? Yes, no one's going there.
Can I just interject for a second? The Eben Ezra makes an interesting point. It doesn't say penny pole on Ophel Mimenu.
It will.
It says penny pole because if you don't do it, it's going to happen.
It will happen. It's inevitable. It's an incredible thing. It's incredible. Whatever can go wrong, Murphy's Law. Whatever can go wrong will go wrong. Guaranteed, it's going to happen. It's incredible. Well, let's say you're the only one that's there. Here's the London Shachakira. Is the din Micah, when the Torah talks about Micah, is it a din that you are responsible for someone else, but not for yourself? Or no, the din Micah includes the Torah is telling you to protect yourself. Okay, what is the Torah's obligation of Micah? Is it for others? If it's only on others, you have the right to be moichel. You have the right to be moichel on yourself. So this is a structure where no one has access to but yourself. If you have a family, you have children, and you have a wife, and you have guests, and it's an open house, and people come and go, then the Torah says, hey, if you're letting someone into your home, it's inevitable they're going to end up on the roof. And when they end up on the roof, they're going to fall over. So you have a duty to somebody else. But yourself? Yourself? This is a general question in many areas of halacha. Is a person allowed to speak lashon hara on himself? It's the famous story with the Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim originally had charata from this, that a person technically, it's an incredible chiddush. This parish also, Miriam negat saras, Yisham ben negat saras. The Chofetz Chaim originally held that a person is allowed to speak lashon hara on himself. If you want to go say, you want to reveal damaging information about yourself to the world, you're permitted. You can do whatever you want. You have a right to be moichel on yourself. If you would say the same thing about someone else, you would be in violation of every single element of lashon hara. But if you say it about yourself, the Chofetz Chaim held originally, it's mutter. You're a Baal HaBos on yourself. You can be Michael on your own covet. And then he had a he had a Maishahaya where he was on a train and he was sitting next to somebody and they got into the camera and the person obviously did not know who the Chofetz Chaim was. In those days they didn't have Gedolim pictures, so they didn't know who the Chofetz Chaim was and they didn't have newspapers. And they started talking about the Chofetz Chaim, and the Chofetz Chaim told this fellow, listen, I know the Chofetz Chaim. He's not such hot stuff. Don't be so impressed with him. He's not such hot stuff, Chofetz Chaim. And he made out of the Chofetz Chaim like he's just a simple guy. Don't get carried away with him. So the guy beat him up. The person who he told this to, he physically assaulted the Chofetz Chaim. How dare you talk about the Chofetz Chaim like that? And the Chofetz Chaim, he took from that experience that he was wrong. That a person is not allowed to speak lashon hara even about himself. That was a little bit more complicated than that. This is a very complicated topic. There are certain things that you can reveal about yourself. This is beyond me, the parameters of this principle. But there is one thing that is certain. The Chofetz Chaim changed his approach in dealing with the mitzvahs of the Torah are not just for others. In the category, there are a category of mitzvahs. There is a category of mitzvahs where you are, where the Torah is trying to protect somebody. And it would seem from a very simple perspective that the goal is to protect others. But the truth is, they're there to protect you from yourself. And many people need more protection from themselves than they need from others. And that's a very big dilemma in many mitzvahs, in many different types of mitzvahs. Where do you draw the line in when the focus of the mitzvah is for others versus focusing on yourself? Here is a very important example, which I found here in this sefer that I'm using to prepare the shiur. There is a chakira in the Achronim, is the mitzvah of Micah primarily for others, you the balabos, or is it even to protect you from yourself? And most of the Rishonim appear to hold that it's even to protect you from yourself. And even if you are the only one who has access, only one that can have access to this area, you still need a Micah. You still need a Micah to protect you from yourself. Okay, that's one other. Now here's another issue that I want to talk about, and that is the word Micah. And once you get to the word Micah, a lot of things begin to change. Now let me just be makdim this idea I want to tell you with a very simple pasuk. It says in the Torah, "Lifnei iver lo sitein michshol." Before a blind person, do not put a stumbling block. So, the question is, what happens if you actually go ahead and you put a stumbling block? You take a cement brick, a cinder block.
It's out of my pocket now and then.
A cinder block, and you see a blind man walking down the street. Oh, you see him coming down, and you put a cinder block in his path. And then the blind man walks, he trips on the cinder block, and he gets hurt. Have you violated the Isser de'oraisa lifnei iver lo sitein michshol? So you'll say to me, you got to be out of your mind, of course. If not this, then what? Right? If not this, if you're not going to be in violation in this case, then when will you be in violation for lifne ivelo sitein michshav? So believe it or not, there are many rishonim that hold that you potter. How? It's a grama. What did you do already? It's a grama. I didn't do anything to the blind. The blind man is walking down the street. I put a cinder block over here. There are two witnesses that are saying to me, it says in the Torah, "Lifnei iver lo sitein michshol." Don't do this. If you do this, you're being over on an iser deraisa. We're giving you hasra. We're reading you the pasuk. We're fulfilling every element of hasra and testimony. And I say, I know what it says in the Torah. Nevertheless, I still want to be in violation, like you do with all the hidurim, and you put down the cinder block, and then you step back. And then everyone watches the blind person walk by and trip over the cinder block. They take him to court and they say he was over on an iser de oraisa, take out the whip and lash him 39 times. The Beis Din says he's patur. It's a grama. He didn't do anything to the poor man, to the blind person. He put down a cinder block. The blind man, he won, and he walked and he fell down. He fell down. He didn't do anything. So therefore, he's potter. What? You're potter? It says in the Torah, don't do this. And you did it. And there are witnesses. How could you be potter? It's a grama. What do you mean it's a grama? The Torah says, Zaloisasei. The answer is, not what I just told you now is not everyone agrees to what I just told you, but many do, is because in this particular instance, the pasuk was never meant to be interpreted literally. That's our tradition. The tradition is, lifnei iver lo sitein michshol, was never meant to be interpreted literally. It was meant to be a concept. Don't give a person bad advice. Don't go to a person who's blind in a certain issue and mislead him by deliberately telling him something that's not to his best interest. Now, in those situations, you're for sure potter, because, I mean, that's for sure grown ben yisakin. Even in this case, even putting the stumbling block before the blind man turns into a case of lifnei iver only in the theoretical, in the conceptual type of situation. But literally you did what the Torah tells you not to do. I know, but that's not what the Torah meant. What do you mean it's not what the Torah meant? It's what the Torah says. I know what the Torah says, but you have to know what the tradition is. That's the beauty of the Masorah. You have to appreciate what the real Masorah is. The real Masorah is sometimes you take the pasuk literally, sometimes not take it literally. Let me explain this avenue. Let us say, for example, the Torah would say, don't mislead, don't cause people who are ignorant in a certain matter to be misled. And I would then go and I would put a stumbling block in front of a blind person, and the blind person would trip. I would be in violation of that principle. But you wouldn't have a question asking me, I should get malchus, because the Torah's whole prohibition is a prohibition that's never really possible to give malchus for. When the Torah says, don't give advice to a person who is ignorant in a certain matter that will mislead him, or don't mislead a person, do something which will cause harm to a person who is ignorant, that's a general prohibition, which you can never give lashes. It's loisase. The Torah says, don't do it. And if you do it, you are in violation of this principle. But it's not a type of prohibition where you can get punishment in court. And if you then go and take a stumbling block and put it from a blind person, it would fit like a glove into this theoretical prohibition, but you wouldn't get malchus. So just because the Torah said it explicitly, don't put a stumbling block in front of a blind person, it's the same thing, because the Torah never meant it to be interpreted literally. Now, with that introduction, let's now go to one of the most interesting mitzvahs in the Torah of Ma'akeh. We start off with all these really bizarre questions. Building a house, a chodosh, a gag, why only the gag? Once you're making a mica, so make, if a staircase for a front porch, a back porch, basement, I mean, a million situations, you can make a bracha in construction a million times. Why is it so limited? Then we ask, like, some dumb, don't sum him to the Yamamish, like premeditated murder? Come on! This is not premeditated murder over here. Sum him, dumb, vesecha, you're setting blood. And what does it mean? The end of the pasuk, the pasuk says, ki yipol ha-noifel nimenu, he's anyway a goner. He's anyway basher to die. What? Something doesn't make sense. I'm sorry, everybody, there's just something that doesn't make sense. And I already told you the answer. The reason why nothing here makes sense, because we have fooled ourselves into thinking that we know what the word ma'ake means. There is absolutely no precedent, b'chol ha-Torah kula, for the translation of the word ma'ake as offense. We made this up. This is an invention of man. Chazal made this up as an extension of what it really means. What does it mean? So let me read to you what it says over here, and it changes, it really changes everything what I'm about to tell you. Okay, here we go. I want to read you the exact words, so. Ibn Ezra, who else? Who else but the Ibn Ezra? The master of language will come and tell you what it means. V'yosisa ma'akeh l'gagecha, kosav shlosha ma'akeh, ein lo rea, has no friend. It's a loner. It has no friend, b'mikra, in the entire Tanakh. And if Ibn Ezra says it, you can be sure he's saying he knows. He doesn't need a computer to say it. He knows it for real. And he writes even better than that. V'i efshar, La'amoid al perusho. It is impossible to know what it really means. How do you like that? Where do you get such a perish and such a word? Could you imagine such a thing? The efshar la'amoid al perusho. It is impossible to know what this word means. And if we don't know what this word means, we're in a lot of trouble. We don't even know what it means. We don't know what it means altogether. And that is why we really don't know what the pasuk means. And we never will know what the pasuk means. And all of these questions can never be answered until we know what the word ma'akeh means. And if he writes the Efshu Lamed al Perusho, we're really stuck. Now before we even go further, now we have...
What?
Okay, there are many perushim. Wait.
Ashbam is very
okay, we're going to bring
examples.
I don't even know what Ashbam is. Give me one moment. Now, I want to stop right here. Now, if we work with what the Ibn Ezra says, that we don't know what it means, and it is impossible to know what it means because there's no other thing to compare it to. And from the context, normally you say, oh, we can figure out what it means from the context of the pasuk. Well, obviously we can't, because there are too many questions in this pasuk. So you know what that means then? This mitzvah of building a fence around your roof is really, to a very large degree, a mitzvah derabbanan. We root it in the Torah, because the Torah says, V'asisa ma'akeh le'gagecha. You have a bayis chadash, you built a bayis chadash, you have a gag, and you're supposed to do something. And Chazal told us, you know what you should do? You should build a fence. Now, the Rabbanon they invent within their rights, l'sos m'chol asher yom l'chol yomin u'smol mitzvahs. The Rabbanon, there are many takonos. Takonis, the Rabbon have a right to make mitzvahs, to expand upon mitzvahs, to explain mitzvahs. There's many, many, many roles. It has to be according to what Ibn Ezra says, that the mitzvah of Makkah, as it appears in Shulchan Aruch, with all of its rules and guidelines, is rooted in this pasuk, but is not like other mitzvahs that are explicit in the pasuk. You have a mitzvah to bring a korban pesach, a mitzvah to do bris milah, a mitzvah to take lulav and eshuk. Those mitzvahs, when the day is over, are explicit. It's a mitzvah de'araisa k'mosha kosov ba'Torah. It says in the Torah to do this. You say the l'shem yichud k'mosha kosov ba'Torah. It says it in the Torah. When you put the mica, you can't say in the L'shem Yichud of Micah, K'moshe Kosov Ba'Torah. Because you don't even know what it says in the Torah. The Rabbon have the right to extrapolate the best that they can to make a mitzvah of making a fence that's 10 tefachim on the Gag. In very limited circumstances, they make this mitzvah. But to say that this is mamish what the Torah wants from you, when you don't even know what the word means, and it's impossible to know what the word means because the ein lo reya, and from the context of the pasuk, we really can't figure out what it means. Because why does it only when you build, not when you purchase, not when you rent? Why when it's a chadosh? Why do you call it a simas domim to say ki yipol hanoifel? The questions are just too massive to go say that from the context we really know what it means. Chazal said we don't know what it means, but it means enough for us to enact, rooted in this pasuk, a mitzvah that's a semi-daraisa to build a mica. It's unique. This is a mitzvah, class by itself, this mitzvah. Class by itself. It's incredible what this mitzvah is. Now, let's then go further. Even though he tells us that he does not know what it means, and it's impossible, but that never held back the Ibn Ezra from telling what... Ibn Ezra spoke his mind. He was very rough in his language. He had no problem with saying what's on his mind. And then ulam, even though it's impossible, that's not going to hold me back. Yeshakash loshen ma'akeh akah bimuvan tzara. Tzara. Oka. We had this not so long ago, and we learned this. I don't remember. We learned this not so long ago in the morning shir in Chagai. Oka. Oka is a word that we do know what it means. It means a tsara, a problem, pain. Something is not right. A tsara in life. Kumosha kosov mibnei akas akas rasha. The tsara of the rush. In that context, it means that the wicked person is causing us pain. The wicked person is causing us pain. V'sham pei rasha ibn Ezra v'hevi atz ba'aka batzara. So now, go back to the pasuk. Kisivne bayis chodosh. When a person builds a new house, kisivne, let me go back to the pasuk, kisivne bayis chodosh, v'yosisa ma'akel ligagecha. When you build a new bayis, you shall make, now a ma'aka means, now if the word oka means a tsara, we know that when we manipulate words, it means the opposite. And in this context, what he seems to be saying is, you shall do something to prevent a tsara.
From akka.
Me'akka. Prevent a tsara. Now, the pasuk now, all of a sudden, takes on a whole new flavor, and a lot of things begin to make a lot of sense. We're not dealing with a wall. When a person goes out on a new adventure, a new enterprise, you start a new business, you get married, when you have to ask yourself the question, are you making for yourself, are you creating a benefit in this world, or are you just making more problems? Okay, sometimes when you start a business, 20 years later, you look back and you say to yourself, it would have been a lot better, my life, had I not applied for a license for this business. I remember once, years ago, when I was in college, I had this great idea how to make money. And I went, it was a really good idea. It still is a good idea. It's a long, long story. And I tried a lot of different ways. It was like an online idea. And then I got to an impediment, and I needed to do something legally in order to proceed. So I went down to Court Street, and I filed for a business license. It cost me a couple of dollars. I went online. There was a whole thing there to go get the license. What a whole deal to get the license. The clerk was making litzonis of me. He was laughing at me. He was making litzonis. He wanted to know what the name of the biz, whole thing. And I got the license. And then I proceeded, and it didn't work. And that didn't work. I didn't try hard enough. That's the only reason why it didn't work. But you know what I got? You know what I got out of this? And I'm still getting ad hayom hazeh. I'm getting garbage mail. Every single day, I get mail. This business, you're licensed. Once you license your business, the whole world knows about it. I don't know how they know about it. And every yokel in the world is trying to sell you a service for your business. If I can cash in on the postage of what I have accumulated in the last who knows how many years, I would be a very rich man on the postage for getting that license. Had I known, waste my time, all these spam mail, how much, had I known, when you start something new, kisivne bayis, you're building something. You're coming to create. When you create something new, it can be very dangerous for many, many reasons. A bayis doesn't necessarily mean a house. It means a family. It can mean a business. It can mean a yeshiva. It can mean a new enterprise. Kisivne bayis chadosh. Be very careful. Be very, very careful. V'yosisa ma'akeh. Make sure this new enterprise should not result in being for you agmas nefesh. Ligagecha. Now, ligagecha is a little bit difficult. What it means, ligagecha? I have a lot, there's a lot more material. We're out of time already. Ligagecha means, where is it going? What are your goals? The gag of the bias is the apex. What are your goals? You want to make a new yeshiva. Why? What do you want cover? What's the goal? You want honor? People should respect you. You're a shiva. You want money? You're trying to make Torah into a business? What do you want? What you want the Talmidim should learn Torah? Yeah, you wish, right? That's the difference today between today's yeshivas and go back 70 years. 70 years ago when they established all of these new yeshivas in America, you know why they made these yeshivas? So the children should really learn Torah. They should have a Jewish education, for real. That was the only kavana. The only kavana is, if we don't make a yeshiva for these kids, they're going to go to public school, they're not even going to know who Abraham is. The kavana was Torah. Today, you make a yeshiva. Jewish education, you kidding? If I don't make a yeshiva, they'll get even a better education if they'll go somewhere else. I'm making the yeshiva because I need a parnasa. Okay? What's the gag? What's your goal? Is the goal going to lead to more problems? More fighting? More tsaris? More fundraising campaigns to drive everyone crazy? What's the goal? V'yosisa ma'akeh ligagecha. Now, I don't really know. You have to be creative in trying to understand what this means. V'loy sosim. Don't. Making something new, it's suicide. Anytime you make something new, it's like you're working your head off to do yourself in if you don't know what you're doing. If you don't know what you're doing, you don't have clarity in where you're heading, you're doomed. It's like premeditated murder. You're murdering yourself. Ki yipol hanav, you know what the neifel is? You're destined to fail. When you build something new and you don't have a gag, you don't have a goal, you don't have, the gag is you look up, you don't have the goal, then you're doomed, you're a neifel. Before you even start, you're finished. Ki yipol ha-neifel mimenu. You're making a big mistake. You have to have your goals. You have to have not just the goals, a ma'akeh legagecha. Make sure the goals don't lead to a tsara, to a problem. I'm not elaborating, and I don't think I need to, because I think you understand it better than I do, and you can think about it. What we've done over here is, we've taken the pasuk, summarized, that is translated in the Hamoin Am in the most simple way. Yes, anyone off the street, go today, walk on the street in Avenue M and stop a person and say, do you know which parasha this week is? Yeah, it's Parashas Ki Seitse. Very good. How do you know? You're not going to Israel this week. How do you know what parasha it is? You go to the airport, they ask you that question. You have to know. Parasha Shavua. Security, they have to ask you. You know what parasha? Oh, you know there's a parasha? Ki Siv Nebayis, that's his Makkah. Yeah, makkah means offense. Really? It means offense? How do you know that? That's not what it means. That's not what the pasuk means. The pasuk means something entirely different. Chazal, in order to give this pasuk some chiyus, they use this pasuk to create a special mitzvah of offense. Okay, last proof to this idea. The Rambam says something very shocking about this mitzvah. If you don't build a makkah, he says, you're over on the Isur D'Oraisa of Shamar es Nafshecha Me'oid. Guard your neshama very much. Shamar es Nafshecha Me'oid. The problem, everyone jumps on the Rambam. The Rambam says, he shomer lecha u'shomor nafshecha u'shomor nafshecha. Not the pasuk, u'shmartem es nafshecha. Not that part. Everyone's quoting a corona. V'nishmartem me'oid l'nafshoy seichem. That's the Corona pasuk. V'nishmartem me'oid. No, the Rambam doesn't quote that pasuk. The Rambam quotes a pasuk totally out of context, which has blown the minds of everyone who reads this Rambam. And he writes, Hishomer l'cha u'shomor nafshecha. Pentishkach es hadar masharunecha. This pasuk is nothing to do with guarding your body. It's referring to, don't forget what you learned by Har Sinai. Don't forget the Aseres HaDibros. What is the Rambam doing? It's like the Rambam is sloppy. The Rambam meant to say the pasuk v'nishmartem me'oid l'nafshei seichem, and he quotes the pasuk, he slipped, and he quotes the pasuk of the Aseres HaDibros, don't forget Matan Torah. What? The Rambam was like sloppy. He quoted the wrong pasuk. No. He didn't quote the wrong pasuk. The Rambam is very precise.
It's account number 6045.
Okay, the Rambam is very precise. The Rambam knew exactly what he's doing. The Rambam, the pasuk is telling you, Kisiv, there was never a time in the history of Klal Yisrael when they built a bayis chodosh, the Matan Torah, and the Aseres HaDibros. There was never a time in the history of the world where a nation was in a massive of kisivne bayis chodosh. And what happened? We were in violation because we made the egel. The osisa ma'akeh legagecha. What's the goal of being mekayim the Torah? What's the purpose? If we made for ourselves, and it's hard to translate those words. We have to really, really struggle a little bit. But if we would have had better planning, it would not have resulted that we had made the ego. That would have not have happened. The Osisa Ma'akele Gechadifo, the Rambam tells us that when a person embarks on creating something new, Kisivne Bayis Chodosh, when you embark on doing something new, don't let history repeat itself. Don't let the bayis chodosh of Matan Torah turn into the egel. Don't let that happen to you. He shomer lecha ushmor nafshecha meoid pentishka chesadre masharuinecha. It's the same exact principle, because the principle of Michael Legagecha is just a microcosm of Matan Torah, of the ultimate kisivne bayis chodosh. All right, we'll stop here, Rabbi Sai. That's the mitzvah Micah for today. Have a good day.
I wanted to add something. It says Gagecha and Beitecha, two words, Shelcha. What does it mean? The bayit is supposed to protect a human being. The Gag is also a protection for a human being. If you build something, a bayit and a Gag, to protect yourself, think about somebody else. It shouldn't get hurt in your house on your Gag. That's why it says Gagecha.
Yours.
It's yours. Think about it. What you do, don't do the others.
Very good. Very, very good.